Hi, I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have Maylene Hegenberger here. She is an amazing nurse midwife over the seas, I've been learning how it's expressed, that she's created the Hegenberger Speculum. It's an amazing suturing tool that we are going to have in the U.S. hopefully soon. It's in the FDA process, but Maylene and I did a video that came out about a month ago just talking about her journey and how the invention was created. And today, I wanted to talk about common issues and questions that have come up since she did the suturing training, since we're waiting for the FDA approval and midwives are just itching to get it in their hands in the U.S. So, Maylene, tell a little bit about yourself and we'll get into the questions.
I'm Maylene Hegenberger. Thank you so much for having me. I've developed the Hegenberger Speculum because I think it's that third hand that midwives usually need when they're suturing. And it's so nice that we have a tool that's made by a midwife, it's made by a woman, and it's for women, birthing persons. And I think it just creates an awareness of suturing and the importance of suturing. So I've been a midwife, nurse midwife for 21 years, and I have three children myself. And so I know what it's like to be sutured and just the impact that poor suturing or poor diagnosis can have on women's lives. And the many, I think there's a lot more silent women out there who actually have problems from suturing or underdiagnosed tears. And I think that part of, I've always had a passion for that part of that fourth part of labor delivery. Don't ask me why, but it's just always that we keep being very competent that all the way through the labor delivery, all the way until the woman goes home. So it's not all the focus is not until the baby's out and the bleeding is under control, but we just take that little chapter just as seriously as any other things we do. So I think that's my contribution to female health and midwifery.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a woman empowerment and you saw a need and you filled it and it didn't happen overnight. It took you over 4+ years of prototypes and designing. And so, especially with me running a business consulting, I want to inspire midwives, like anything is possible. You see a need, you see a challenge, like put it into bite-sized pieces. So yeah, the Hegenberger Speculum, you saw a challenge, midwives weren't able to see well, or the training, like you just couldn't see the apex. Is this a second? Is it a third? Like the assessment criteria. And so you saw a challenge and you filled it. And so I'm so excited for the FDA approval of the Hegenberger Speculum so we can have it in the US. When we did our training, there were some great questions that came up and I thought it would be good just to focus on those and address. People just want to know how it worked. And I'll definitely put a link underneath and I'll add to this video when we edit it, just a picture for them, but just kind of describe how you made the prototype and how it's used.
Well, the prototype took a long time. I made it at home and I've made about 88 prototypes. I have a whole bag in my attic at home with prototypes. I don't think many people have that bag of speculums in their attic. And then suddenly we had a prototype and then now it's CE certified, it's sterile and it's single use. And it's a very flexible material. It's plastic and my kids hate me for it. I apologize deeply, but that's a long, long discussion. We did try and make it in metal, but that would become so thin that it would be danger to the women's vaginal floor if you wanted that flexibility. And the women, they actually like it a lot more when it's soft plastic. You don't get that, unwrapping metal like you do as an examination with a normal speculum. And then it's shaped for the female pelvis. So it's kind of curved, which follows the birth canal of a female pelvis. And then for inserting it, you kind of fold it, you fold the sides and you put a finger on top of it. I should have one here, and then you kind of follow the birth canal all the way in and then you hold it still there for a little bit and you ask the woman to relax. And that takes about 10 seconds and that will hurt her, the woman. You have to inform her that it will be a little painful when you place it. And that's when the speculum kind of pushes the uterus a little bit up. Just like when you check for bleedings, that also is very painful. So as soon as you manipulate with the uterus or the the cervix, the ligaments and everything is so sore that that will be painful. But when it lies still there, it holds aside the external genitals, so it holds still the labia, and that is where the speculum should not be of any pain to the patient or to the woman, the birthing person. And when it's there, is that's not what they complain about. It's still the needle. I always ask them three times just after I've started to suture, and then when I'm done suturing, and then after when they're sitting eating toast and breastfeeding, I kind of go back and say, so that tool I used, was that, what do you think of that? And it's never the speculum they complain about. If they are in pain, it's because they have an extended bladder or they are not in a correct positioning. You really have to have the woman in a correct positioning for using the speculum, because if she's sitting up and you place the speculum up and then you ask her to relax, she will relax. But as soon as you let go, the uterus that weighs about 1 kilo is just going to weigh into the vagina again, and then the speculum will come out. So it's important that she's horizontal. So when you put in the speculum, the uterus just goes back a little. And then when you let go of the speculum, the uterus is not pushing it out. So, but I think that goes for all suturings and inspections, and it's always with informed consent, of course. No gel on the speculum. There's plenty of mucus and blood. And if you put gel on it, it will come flying out quicker than you can sneeze. But that's so you always place it where you need to see. So if you have a tear, let's say at 5 o'clock, then you turn the speculum a little and put it in that way. If you have a tear at 7, you put it in like that. And if you have a tear at, let's say, 6 o'clock, then you put it straight in. So it's one tear at a time. So if you have two tears, then you take one to start with, and then you take the other one. And then when you're done, you simply go in and fold it back again together and pull it out the following the birth canal. When it's folded, it's like 1 inch by 1 inch. So it's about the same size of a cucumber or something else. So there's plenty of room. You know, she's just delivered a baby. And so it's all about, you know, a gentle placement, telling her this is going to be a little painful. But when she's relaxed and you slowly let go, the pain goes away, and then you can suture. So, but for women who deliver at home, usually there's a lot less fear, and they're very educated, and they can accept 10 seconds of pain if they know that it's going to be less. We have a tendency to think that our fingers are more gentle than a speculum. And I've had a lot of midwives say, you know, how on earth can you place something in a woman that's just given birth, you know? But on the other hand, I think it's important that we, if she's giving us consent, that we look and inspect, and we see if anything needs to be sutured. You know, I think it's in her interest that we diagnose her correctly, that she has a bowel sphincter function, and that she has if it's a second degree tear, I think that should be sutured. If she has a septum defect, that should be sutured. And so if she wants us to inspect and diagnose and suture, then we should also do it in a just as professional way as we do all the other things. So I hope that was an answer to your question. What was your question?
Well, part of what I'm thinking about is when we have a second degree, we think, oh, we don't want to stick anything in, but then you can't see and you're using a lot more laps, and that's like sandpaper every time you use that, or you're asking a nurse or a midwife or a colleague to hold back one of the labia, and it's slippery and it slides, and you're always moving your fingers versus you just place something, it's held and it's done. Like, we don't want to hurt women, but I think when we relatively compare to how we usually do it, you have to actually acknowledge, not just be in the motions. I know you and I talked about that in the last video. When you get tired and you go in the habits, you're not really recognizing. You're just saying, oh, it'll be over in a minute, but you're not looking at her face. You're just doing the motions. Like, having something that just opens and holds is going to be far less painful than slippery fingers and trying to manipulate and, oh, I got to hold it. Oh, now it's too tight or too loose. And like, just having something baseline. And I think it's going to be overall the women, when midwives finally jump in and take the chance of using it, they're going to see the trend that the women thought, maybe compared to last suturing they did with them and had a great birth, that this one was so much better. Like, I can see the benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. a lot of women, in especially in Scandinavia, they think they are done when the placenta is out. And to some women, it's a big surprise that they're not completely done, that we would like to inspect them. Of course, they can say no, but most women say, sure, you know, I need to. But on the other hand, they're like, can't you just speed up because it's really painful? And it always takes longer to suture than you think. I think we are way past the time where we say, just stitch her up, just a few stitches. Of course, there's always some women where it is just a few stitches, but it always takes a little longer. And if we can, if there's any way we can reduce the pain and the stress for the women, and if there's any way we can improve the way we see and suture, I think this, it's why not? I mean, I think if we were men, we would have jumped to these kinds of assisting tools a long time ago. So I think we are doing something good for each other and for ourselves and our daughters and our, you know, and for us as a midwifery profession, that we have something that can assist us in our surgical techniques and our view and approach to suturing tears. Yeah,
I think, yeah, you're going to decrease the pain. We're going to be able to improve by being able to visualize the anatomy better and do a more thorough assessment. We're going to, like, I think so many midwives, you and I talked about it last conversation, just don't realize all the potential complications, like the innocence in the U.S. and what, from my training, is, yes, we're taught about the anatomy and all the different muscles, but when we suture, we're more taught of, especially not a hospital, just to put the two sides together and the tissue will heal naturally and normal. And there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more sexual health and incontinence and prolapses that can come from us not understanding a proper suturing and being able to visualize. So I think you and Sarah with GynZone and with the Hegeberg Speculum are going to change the world's caliber of understanding of the suturing process. So I'm very, very excited. And like, I can even see for out of hospital, like how many transfers we don't have to do anymore purely because we weren't able to visualize or just the improved outcome. So yes, it's going to have a huge ripple effect around the world. So thank you for taking the time for 4 years, making 80 plus prototypes. Someday they'll be in a museum and they'll be in the midwifery museum.
We'll have a hanging down from the ceiling.
They'll be I can see it now, Maylene. You better watch it. When I make this World Midwifery Museum, I'm going to be like, Maylene, you told me how I'm going to decorate the ceiling. So I think you covered a lot of the great questions. You said it was more single use versus multiple. I know, and there's that balancing act with like, you want it flexible and it fits into the anatomy. So I get where the invention process where, but we use speculums to do just regular pap smears, and the US I don't think is as good as the rest of the world with our environmental consciousness. So we don't really know the cost yet. It's not FDA approved, and that'll be something I definitely want to do another video with you once that happens. I mean, it's very close. I mean, the estimation was June. So it's like, you're really on the home stretch. So hopefully we'll have another conversation in a month or so.
Yeah, it got postponed a little because the factories in Denmark or within the EU had a new medical regulatory. All the companies in Europe had to go through all this, you know. It's just like having FDA visit your factory and they go through every file. And so the factory that are producing the Hegeberger was a little overwhelmed. They are like, right now, you want it now, and can't we postpone it a little? So I said, all right, just, you know, speed it up.
You know, you've waited 4 years. What's another 4 weeks?
I want it yesterday. Yeah.
I know. So, well, thank you. I appreciate your inspiration and the following your entrepreneurial spirit. I'm sure it was scary in the beginning, but I applaud you for taking the leap and taking it step by step. And hopefully more midwives will say, oh my gosh, you've inspired me. There is a challenge in my area and I'm going to follow the same steps or reach out to you. Maylene, what is the best way for people to connect or learn more about the Hegeberger Speculum?
Well, I do teach online every Tuesday, but of course in the US that's not very good timing for you guys. But I can always send a link with an English version so people can see it at home. The only thing is that you're only allowed to use it for clinical stuff and for educational purposes. Otherwise, I'm only an email away at my website, www.hegenbergerspeckelen, or I'm on LinkedIn, or I'm on Instagram. I'm Marlene Hegenberger on Instagram. So I'm very easy to find. The name is not very common. The speculum actually did have another name before, but then we realized there was another speculum called that. And so many people had told me it should be called after you, just like all the male instruments. So I was like, all right, even though it sounds like a German tractor or something, but it's just the Hegenberger speculum now. So it's going to stay that way, I think. But people can always reach me. If your department, if you're working in a department, you have maybe a day where focus is suturing, or you have a lesson of or learning something, you can always book me for a private lesson.
Yeah. Well, you've joined the elite with the Gaskin maneuver. Like, anything we can do to add midwifery influence into the bigger medical community, we're all about that. So, and the other option is I will put a link to the YouTube video. You did a wonderful training for the U.S. midwives that's recorded for about an hour. So if people want more information, we've got lots of resources we'll attach underneath this.
That's good. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you have a lovely night, Maylene, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.